I will confess that, at many points in writing this book, I wanted it to be a story of feminist triumph. There was a time, right after my son was born, when my initial stance of principled disbelief toward type and its communities began to soften. I experienced this first as a growing sympathy for my historical subjects, Catherine and Isabel. They were, after all, wives and mothers who yearned to transform their daily domestic labors into occasions for creative self-actualization, to make the home into an institution not unlike a psychiatrist's office or a scientist's laboratory, where their work could be taken seriously. I understood that impulse just then. I still do. Then there were the people I spoke with, mostly women, but some men too, who explained to me in no uncertain terms how type had saved their lives. It had rescued them from dead-end jobs and unhappy marriages. It had helped them come to terms with their parents and children. It had given them the courage to accept who they were and what they wanted out of the life that stretched before them, newly pregnant with possibility. Nearly all of them acknowledged that the liberation they felt was mass-produced, but that they still felt it intensely and sincerely. I wanted to do justice to these experiences of individual transcendence, even if I found it hard to disentangle them from the dubious and often exploitative social histories of type that I had uncovered along the way. I wanted to tell all sides of the story in a way that was critical but fair, and most of all, disinterested. I did not want to be swayed. Yet, over time, the desire to do justice to my subjects modulated into something more intimate, something more urgent. I watched my son grow. I watched him laugh his different laughs. I watched him play. I watched as he started to express his desires for certain things, a toy, a book, a room in the house, over others. I watched as these desires turned into demands, as these demands intensified and hardened into preferences. In short, I watched as his personality developed. Or maybe it just emerged. I could not tell the difference. And as I watched, I realized that the words drumming through my mind were the same words I had vowed to keep at a distance while I was finishing this book. The same words that had gripped my historical subjects almost 100 years ago and had never let them go. "He's such an extrovert," I observed one day to no one in particular, and I did not want to check myself, did not want to take it back. Even if I did not believe what I had just said, at least not entirely. When I relayed my slip to my husband, he pointed out that I had started my investigation of the indicator by committing the cardinal sin I had attributed to Catherine and Isabel's system of type. I had assumed that all people who encountered the indicator were either skeptics or true believers, and that their type never changed. But people are more various than I had allowed. For there are times when, confused and lacking direction, we speak the language of type to affirm our understanding of ourselves and the people we love. And there are times when we want desperately to guard our individuality from type's sly encroachments, to hold fast to the distinct and irrepressible qualities that make you who you are and me who I am. I started and finished this book at moments of great change in my life. My second son will arrive any day now, and there were moments when, against my prior judgments, I found myself thinking and speaking the words my subjects used with a will to belief that I never thought possible. This book, then, is for the skeptics, the true believers, and everyone in between. Which is to say that this book, listener, is for you. You who cannot and should not be typed.